You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to, what do I want to turn to? Turn to Isaiah. Yeah, there's a good one. Isaiah 41. Let's start there. I want to teach a little bit on overcoming fear in your life and what fear is and so on and so forth. And you know, God doesn't want you to live a life of fear. We live in an age where people are afraid of all kinds of things, and we're bombarded with it. You know, everything seems like everything goes on in the White House that has connected with fear somehow. The sequester is fear. We're going to shut everything down. You know, we're going to shut this down, that. You're not going to have any money. Taxes are going up, you know. A lot of those things may be true in the sense that cutting back expenses, taxes may go up. But still, my God supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you with me? And we're still the most blessed nation in this world right now. And I believe that's because we're still a one nation under God. And if we're not a nation under God, we're a nation gone under. And we've got to keep that straight. And all of our pride in America, which I love this country, and I'm proud to be an American and proud to be a Texan. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But in saying all that, I am a Christian first. I'm a believer in Jesus first. And then I am an American citizen. And then I'm a Texan. And sometimes those two get a little mixed up. I'm Texan and American Texan. I don't know. But anyway, getting to be more Texan American, I guess. But we're not going to succeed yet. Stay with me. Hallelujah. It's just when it's all said and done, we're going to have all the money. We're going to have all the guns down here. That's all. All right. But I am a Christian first. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. That means I have a Father that loves me, that cares for me. That means the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. That means he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And even in that tongue interpretation, that scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And the context of that was, you know, take no thought for what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear, clothes. It says, for your after these things do all the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So in the midst of all that, as a Christian, as a believer, I don't need to walk in fear. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I love that. So I don't have a spirit of fear from God. If fear's coming, it hadn't come from the Lord. Now, I respect God, I honor God, I reverence God, I have a fear of the Lord, but that's a different fear. I'm not, as we say in East Texas, a scared of God. You know, afraid he's going to smash me like a bug or wipe me out. That's a different kind of fear. I honor God, I stand in awe of God. That's the fear of the Lord. But that's not like the fear of man or the fear of the future or the fear of finances or the fear of marriage or the fear. You know, you can go right down the list, especially when you've been burnt. You know, I believe it was Mark Twain said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. But he'll never sit on a cold one either. And that's the problem with fear, is something tragic sometimes happens, and then we write the whole thing off. You know, we get gun shy, as it were. You know, we're afraid because something happened. We connected with this thing, afraid of relationships, afraid of marriage, afraid of churches, been hurting a church, so we just quit church. Are you with me? You know, and we just go right on down the list. Well, you had a bad experience. Just chalk it off and go on. Doesn't mean everybody's bad. Are you with me? Maybe you had a bad church experience. I don't know. It doesn't mean every church is bad. Maybe you had a bad marriage. Doesn't mean marriage is bad. Marriage is good. Man, I've got a good marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be married 40 years this year. I was 10 when we married. And hallelujah. I obviously don't have any fear of lying. I just lied. But you know, we got a great church. I know there's some bad churches. There's some great churches. This is a great church. Goodness, we've been going 30, 31 years this year. Think about it. Touched a lot of lives, helped a lot of people, blessed a lot of folks. And not through yet, still doing it. Amen? So, you know, don't let a failure become you. You're not a failure. A failure is an event, not a person. And a tragic thing that happened is just that. It's a tragic thing that happened. It's not you. And that's what, we internalize things too much, don't we? You know, something bad happens, and we write the whole thing off. Or we think, that's us, we can never do that, because we failed at that. Are you kidding? I failed at so many things. You have too. We all have. You just get back up. You know, that John Wayne quote. He says, you're going to spend your whole life falling down. He said, I think he said falling off a horse and getting back up on it. So get used to it. You just get back up, you know. We're not down. We're either up or we're getting up. Just get back up. But fear is not something that you're supposed to be living with. Fear, you know, as an acronym, taking the letters and making a sentence out of it or something. I like to say it this way. It's false expectations appearing real. That's really what fear is, because you think this is going to happen. Fear never deals with a now. Fear is always in the future. It's always what this is going to do to me, what this is going to mean to me. Even the loss of a loved one, you go through a certain amount of fear the first few days sometimes, thinking of how it's going to impact your life forever. But you know what? Your life will get better. And if they love the Lord, then they're in heaven. They're a much better place. And Jesus is still Lord. He's on the throne. You're going to have hurt, and you're going to have pain. You're going to have grief. But you know what? You will survive, and you will get better. And don't you let fear get in, those false expectations appearing real to you. Maybe you lost a job. Well, the next thing your mind starts spinning, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to be on the street. I'm going to be going down to shelter every week, you know, and this. Oh, no, come on now. Wait a minute. Slow down. You're projecting way into the future something that just now happened. See, that's false expectations appearing real. It is a faith in reverse. See, if you're going to believe for the future, then why don't you base it on something more solid than your feelings or your experiences? Why don't you base it on the promises of God? The promises of God says He'd never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. The promises of God says that if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. The knock, the door will be open to you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door will be open unto them. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Hallelujah. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I think I'll base my future on something a little more solid than my experience, more solid than what's happening right now, more solid than my fears. I'm going to base my future on God's word, on faith. Because fear deals with the future, and so does faith. Fear just happens to put its faith in the negative, and faith puts its faith in God, obviously, in the positive. We need to accentuate the positive, as the old song goes, you know. And I don't know how it goes because it was way before my time. But we need to put our, we don't need to, in the dark room of fear, we don't need to develop our negatives. Amen? Because that's what we do. When we start talking it, and we start shaking, and our knees start knocking, and we start getting paralyzed by it, we are developing our negatives. Don't develop them. Don't give birth to them, as it were. Amen? What you ought to do is develop the positives. Develop the promises. Meditate on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, found it? Excuse me. Isaiah 41, 10. This is a good one. Oh, I love this. It says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, see, there. I mean, that's in a nutshell, that's it. We don't need to fear because God's with us. 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that's in, well, it starts out, it says, concerning the world, it says, you have overcome them, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what just happened, but I know God's bigger than what just happened, and he's greater than what you're facing. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's what he told Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, where he was getting Joshua ready to go in and take the Canaan land. That's what he told Moses when he appeared to him in the fiery bush and told him, I'm going to send you to deliver my people. And he says, I will be with you. He told Joshua after Moses died, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not forsake thee. I will not leave thee. Oh, I love that. That's what Jesus said when he left. Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. Amen. That's why some people don't like flying planes, because they think Jesus is just with them low. Okay, moving right along. But he says, fear not, for I am with you. Come on now, we're Christians. We're believers. When you know, God, we don't pray that God gets there when we go there. God goes with us when we leave. Listen, when I leave, he leaves. When I get there, he gets there. He's in me. He's not jumping in and out of me like a yo-yo. You know, I mean, I know that's a religious prayer, and I've said it before too. Lord, go with us as we leave this place. But actually, he's with us. He's not going to leave us. He said he wouldn't. Hallelujah. Lester Summerall used to, you know, he did a lot of missionary work. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But, T.L. Osborne passed away here about a week ago. So some of the great icons of faith. You know, I think of Lester Sumrall, Kenneth Hagin, and John Osteen, and, you know, and T.L. Osborne just passed away. Excuse me. My three heroes of faith, besides, of course, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, was my pastor, John Osteen, who's going on to be the Lord, and then Kenneth Hagin and Lester Sumrall. Those three men probably influenced me more than anyone ministry-wise as I was growing up after I got saved. I mean, I read everything they, you know, wrote and listened to them countless times live in meetings and in tapes and cassette tapes. Are you with me? Date myself there. But Lester used to say when he would arrive, and he preached in over 100 nations of the world and did missionary work, and he just had such a revelation of God being in him, you know. He said when he'd get off the plane, as soon as he'd step down those steps and hit the tarmac, he said, "Devil, I have arrived." You know, he just had confidence in the fact that God was with him. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He wasn't going to live in fear of what the devil had in store for him or all his tactics and strategies. You know, God was in him. Hallelujah. And that's the attitude we ought to have. That's not an arrogance. That's just confidence in God. Are you with me? Not arrogant because I'm nothing without him. But see, the point is I'm not without him. You know, Paul said, he said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? Which is in you, and you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," God's property. We belong to God. He's in us. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord's our shepherd. We shall not want. The Lord's our light and our salvation. Of whom shall we be afraid? I love that. Psalms 27 talks about being a light in our salvation. So he says here, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be thou not dismayed." Don't be discouraged. Don't get so down. You know, don't get so depressed. Don't pet that devil. Because that's what happens, you know, that depression comes in and we begin to pet that thing. I'm amazed at how we just soothe it and pet it and turn the lights out and close the doors and unplug the phone and put on the blues music. "Nobody knows the trouble I see." It's so bad. Oh, it's bad. You know, and then we just pet that devil. And then before long, we're so depressed, we don't want to talk to anybody. We hide away. We want to get away from the light. Turn the lights out. Don't want to talk to anybody. Unplug the phones or don't answer the phone, you know. Come on. Are you out there? Well, you know, you got to fight that devil. You can't pet that devil. When you have a pity party, only two people show up anyway, you and the devil. So don't go there. You don't let that get a hold of you. You break out of that thing. Call somebody. Encourage somebody. Pray for someone. Open the door. Jump outside. I don't care if it's 20 degrees. Get out there and smile real big. "Ah! Devil, I have arrived." Hello? Get back in the house real quick if it's that cold, but you know. Okay. So he says, don't be dismayed. Don't fear, I'm with you, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen you. Man, I love that. Yea, I will help you. Isn't that good? I mean, it's a promise of God. It's a command to not fear. That's a command. Don't fear. It's a promise, I'm with you. I'll help you. Are you with me? I'll strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God will not leave you, and he has not left you. God will not forsake you, and he has not forsaken you. God is still here, and he's still around, and he still loves you, and he's still for you, and you don't have to be afraid. It is not God's will that you be afraid of life and what happens in life. It's not God's will. He's not trying to teach you something. It's not something he's putting in your path. Not at all. It's not his plan. It's not his purpose. It's not his design. Fear is not from God. Faith is from God. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that pulls us toward fear. You know, it's been said that we're designed by God to succeed, but we're programmed to fail. The world programs us to fail. It programs us to be afraid of everything. You know, even sometimes when we try to teach our children good judgment, we still loosely use the terms of fear, and we put fear in them. Oh, don't go play out in the street. You'll get run over and get killed. Well, no, don't go play in the street, but you don't want to put fear in them. You don't go play in the street because it's dangerous and you want to use wisdom. You want to look both ways if you cross the road, and that's not a place to be playing. You know, my dad, when he retired, we went back to Center, Texas, where I was born and raised. When he retired from the Army, we went back there to the old home place and the farm and raised cows. In fact, we raised dairy cows. And, man, boy, I think you just need to believe God for money, you know, instead of buying those dairy cows and then, you know, calves and having to milk them and then get large enough, and then you get a bull. And, you know, we had a whole herd of dairy cows that we fed with that. You ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? Where you have to teach them to milk. You get them, they're 3 days old from the dairy, and then you got to build a corral, and you got to mix up all this powdered milk, and you go out there and milk them. And anyway, you don't milk them, you give them milk. But anyway, you know, I was raised up on a farm, and he farmed. His brothers were farmers, and so on and so forth. But Dad never ever told me to be afraid of cows. He never used that term. And we had some crazy cows. My uncles had cows. Our cows grew up. We had a lot of Brema cattle, you know, which they'd eat the pine bark off a pine tree. Every poor man has Brema cows because they'll eat anything. but anyway, we had those cows, and we had some that were crazy. And Dad would say, you know, you need to use wisdom. You need to respect that cow. You need to stay close to a fence. You get out, and, you know, you see that old bull out there. You know how he is. You make sure you're close to a fence or somewhere where you can get over that fence. But he never said be afraid of the bull. I don't ever remember my dad ever saying that. He would just say, respect, wisdom. That's the way we ought to raise our children. That's the way we ought to live our life. We don't need to be afraid of the world, but we do need to be wise in the world. And we need to respect the world. Are you with me? And use wisdom. But fear, no, that's not something we should develop. We shouldn't be afraid of failure. We shouldn't be afraid of going under. We shouldn't be afraid of losing everything. We shouldn't be afraid of tragedy. Tragedy is going to come. We need to get ready for it. We need to do what God says, but we don't need to fear. Because the Lord is with us, and He will help us. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I've said this many times, but life is too varied. There's too many different things that can happen in life, too many different tragedies that can come up, needs come up. And I know, you know, the longer I live, that there's a lot of things that happen in life. Life's got rough edges. It's got sharp edges. It sticks. It grabs. You cut me, I bleed just like anybody. And we're not in heaven. I understand that. So I don't know everything that's going to happen to me. I know it's not all going to be perfect because we're not in heaven. Are you with me? But I do know this. The longer I live and the more I serve God, whatever happens in life, I'm going to trust God. Amen. And He's always come through. And I've hurt, and I've grieved, and I've been in pain. But you know what? God has always come through. When I've called on Him, He's helped me. When I call on Him, He's strengthened me. So whatever happens, I've got that to hold on to. I don't have to fear the future. I don't have to fear getting old. I don't have to fear dying. Are you with me? I'm not supposed to fear that. I'm supposed to trust God. And we need to develop our faith in Him. Because life is full of all kinds of things. But we can overcome a lot of things in life, and we can always have God help us and strengthen us when things happen. So don't you be afraid for your finances. Don't you be afraid for your marriage. Don't you be afraid for your children. Don't ever entertain that. Don't let that come into your life. You cover that thing in prayer, and you get the promises of God, and you know that God will strengthen you, and He will help you. Are you with me? And He'll uphold you with His righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 2nd chapter. This is a good one. Hebrews 2, and this is talking about what Jesus came to do. Is this helping you? Boy, y'all are being real quiet, too. I don't hear you scream babies, and I don't hear your cell phones going off and the way talking to their neighbor. That's good. Y'all amen all you want. You help me all you want there. That's fine. Notice what it says in Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, that's you and me. Everybody say flesh and blood. As far as I know, that's what we all are, flesh and blood. We got flesh and blood here. It says, He Himself, speaking of Jesus, likewise shared the same. I love that. God became flesh, dwelt among us. Didn't He? God visited us in Jesus Christ. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it meant. And what was born in that manger was God becoming a man. Woo, hallelujah. And He walked with us, and He talked with us, and He was touched by the feelings of our infirmity, yet He did not sin. I like that. It said, inasmuch as the children had been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus overcame the devil. His death was planned. He came to die. That's what he came to do. And through death he overcame the power of the devil. I like that. You know, if you were in a war and you had an enemy that you understood very well, and you knew what his strategy was, or, hey, just a fight in a boxing ring or MMA fight or whatever. You know, your opponent generally has a strength, something that he uses, something you know he's going to do every time. He might have a wicked, you know, right hook or something, or if it's an army, he may always do a certain tactic in putting his forces together, and you're aware of that. You studied him. You know your enemy. And so if you're real smart, you're a real good strategist in a fight or in a war, then you take into account that's exactly what he's going to do, and you take his strength and you use it against him. Are you with me? Well, the greatest power the devil had was death. Well, God took death and overcame death with death. See, the devil threw his best shot, killed Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus came to do, was to die. The devil didn't understand that. Had they known, the Bible says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2 chapter tells us that. If they had known, if they'd understood God's plan, they would never did what they did. They thought they got rid of Jesus. They thought they buried Jesus, but all they did was plant him. And what you plant comes back up. They threw their best shot, and their best shot wasn't good enough. So Jesus, through death, destroyed death. Are you with me? The power of death, that is the devil. And notice what it says in the 15th verse. And delivered them, or released those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Wow. Did you know that Jesus died and rose again? Of course, so we could be saved. No question. But he died and rose again to get rid of fear in our lives, specifically the fear of death. People live their whole lives afraid of death, afraid of dying. Now, some people, I believe, do have reason to be afraid of dying. Are you with me? Hugo Chavez, the last words were, "Please don't let me die." Are you with me? He probably had reason to fear dying. I'll make a statement about Hugo Chavez, but I don't think he was a good guy. Don't get me wrong. If you know anything about Hugo Chavez, a Venezuelan diplomat, he's not who Hollywood says he is. In fact, I'll tell you what, in reality, nobody's really who Hollywood says they are. They generally always get it wrong. But fear, the last thing in his breath was fear. You know, the last thing Brother Osteen said in the hospital before he took his last breath, his son-in-law was in there when he said it. He said, "His mercy endures forever." He said real strong. He said it with a loud voice and went on to be with the Lord. Man, that's the way to go, isn't it? His mercy endures forever. And whoo, he went up into glory. Went to heaven, hallelujah. Well, Jesus came to deliver us from fear. Why is that? Because fear is bondage. Fear is not a good thing. It's an evil, not a good. It's not something God does, it's something the devil does. Fear paralyzes us. Fear freezes us. It keeps us from moving and going forward and doing any good at all or helping anybody or developing or growing or being used by God. Fear just stops everything. I think Shakespeare said, "Our doubts are traitors that make us lose what we oft might win by fearing to attempt." In other words, because of doubt and fear, we don't try. We don't move. We just are paralyzed, and it's a traitor to us. Fear deceives us. It keeps us from winning because it keeps us from doing anything. We're afraid of relationships, so we don't develop any. We're afraid of failing in business, so we don't do any business. Are you with me? Afraid of being hurt in church, so we don't go to church. We're just paralyzed. We're stopped. And then most people live their whole life afraid to die. Afraid of dying. Are you kidding? It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you when you leave this place and go to heaven if you're a Christian. Every day above ground is a good day, but I tell you, your best day is when you don't get up. Your best day is when you leave here and go off into glory, hallelujah, and step into that glorious light in the presence of God. Woo! Where there is no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no dying. Oh, glory to God. No barking dogs in the middle of the night. No time change. You don't need to be afraid of that. That's the best thing ever going to happen to you. It's when you go on to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Praise God. Well, he came to deliver us, who all of our lifetime were subject to bondage. And you know that word bondage there is serfdom, slavery. It means subjection to some force, compulsion, or influence. You know, you don't need to be subjected to what the devil's telling you. You don't need to be a slave to fear. And Jesus came to deliver you from it. There's nothing godly about it. There's nothing holy about it. There's nothing in God's plan or his purpose. This idea that God's got a purpose and a plan for everything is foreign to the Scripture. God tells us blatantly there are some things that he just is not behind and he does not like and he does not want you to do. So when those things happen, don't blame God. Don't say God had a plan and a purpose. He didn't plan that or purpose that. He forbidded you to do it to start with. It was a thou shalt not, and you went and shalt it. Don't blame God. Somebody did something bad to you. God didn't send them. He didn't tell them to go do it. He told them not to do that. Are you with me? Somebody burned my house down. Somebody stole all my, you know, all my stuff. Somebody, you know, killed one of my relatives. Well, it must have been God's plan. No, it wasn't. God told them not to do that. They violated God's command. And you can too. Are you with me? Not supposed to, but you can. You can rebel against God. God's not in control of you when you rebel against him. God's not in control of every situation. Scripture does not say that. God can if he wanted to, but he chose not to. He chose to let you make your decisions and suffer the consequences or the benefit from those decisions. Now, that's what the Scripture teaches. This business of God controlling everything, God being behind everything, God having a purpose for everything, God having a plan for everything. Listen, that is not a biblical synopsis of God. That is a Greek fate tradition. That's Plato and Aristotle. That's not Jesus and Paul. Are you with me? That's not the Scripture. And life's not that way either. That's why people run around life half mad at God, because something bad happens, they think God did it. Yeah, something tragic happened in their life, and they say, well, God must have done that, and the preacher tells them God did it. And then they lose their loved one, or their husband, or the wife, or their child, or mother, or daddy, and the preacher says, well, you know, God had a plan, God had a purpose, you know. And then those people walk away and think, man, God, is he that sadistic? Does he just go around? No, he's not, and he didn't do that. The world we live in did that. The sin of this world does that. And we're all going to die because of sin, not because of God. Hello. But in heaven, there are no more deaths. There are no more funerals. There are no more hospitals. No one ever gets sick there. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? And fear is not part of his plan. Death's not part of his plan. Death, the Bible says, is the last enemy to be put underfoot. God says that. It's in the Bible, New Testament, that death is an enemy. It's not a friend. Are you out there? And fear is an enemy. Faith is your friend. Let me tell you something. Faith is your friend. Fear is not your friend. You say, well, there's a healthy fear. No, no, no. There's respect and there's wisdom, but fear is not healthy. Don't be afraid of a brim of bull. Respect him. Don't be afraid of cars on a highway. Respect them. Respect them. Because if you're just afraid of cars, you never get in one. Are you out there? If you're afraid of the highway, you never get on one. I mean, those things, there's nothing wrong with a highway, nothing wrong with a car. You've got to watch those crazy people in those cars. Even guns. I mean, come on, just respect them. It's just crazy people that kill people. Not guns don't kill people. I mean, blaming guns for killing people is like blaming McDonald's for making you fat. Anyway, okay. Take away everybody's fork and spoon because they're making everybody gain weight, you know. No, it's what you do with a fork and a spoon that makes you gain weight. Okay. But I digress. Let me go ahead. Okay. Proverbs 29. Turn there. I'm not going to get through this. Is this helping anybody? Okay. I just want to encourage you. I want to help you. I don't want you to be afraid. And God doesn't want you to be afraid. Proverbs 29. This is an insightful scripture here. Proverbs 29, verse 25, and we're just talking about fear, says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. are safe. I love that. You know, you don't need to fear man. If you fear God, you don't need to fear man. Are you out there? If your fear and reverence is for God, you don't need to be afraid of man. And the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Hallelujah. I don't need to be afraid of man or the government or IRS. It's not a death knell when IRS calls. Hello. It's not a death knell when the wrong president gets in. Are you with me? It's not a death knell when Congress is controlled by the wrong party, in your opinion or my opinion, whatever you believe along those lines. No, no, no. If we're trusting God, well, you know, life goes on. We pray for those in authority, according to the Scripture. We're under a mandate to do that. Pray for our president and the cabinet and the House and the Senate and Supreme Court and down to our state and all the officials in our state, the governor and the House and the Senate and all those and, you know, the justice system. We pray for all those people. But you see, my trust is in God. Are out there. My trust is in the Lord. I don't need to fear man. The fear of man brings a snare. Everybody say a snare. Well, that's like bondage. That word snare in Hebrew means a kind of a trap for small animals. Actually, it's pretty small-minded when we fear. We're not being big-minded. Because if we got the big picture, we'd see God. We're being very narrow and small-minded when we fear. We think we're isolated and alone, and that's small-minded. Listen, you're not isolated. You're not alone. God is with you. Amen? You need to get a little bigger picture here. So is it like a snare, a trap? The fear of man's a snare. Dangerous, risky, it attracts and tempts like a snare does. A person is entangled in it like a trap. See, think about this. When fear comes, that's the devil throwing his trap out there. Something happens, a tragedy happens, and then the fear comes. Now, I'm not talking about a feeling, because we all feel that. I felt it, you felt it. We're not talking about the feeling. We're talking about what you do with the feeling. The fear comes. All of a sudden, your mind starts spinning all these scenarios of bad things are going to take place because of this event. Lost your job, now you're going to lose everything else. See, now you start projecting in the future. The devil throws the little trap out there. It's called fear. Don't step in it. Don't get caught in it. The fear of man brings a snare and a trap. This is just a strategy of the devil. That's all in the world it is. It's the devil trying to ruin your future. Something bad happens, he wants to multiply, magnify it, and he wants to ruin your future and your destiny and your hope. Well, don't fall for the trap. Trust in God. You put your trust in God, hallelujah, you got your future so bright you got to wear shades. I mean, you got a great future just waiting on you if you'll trust in God. Yeah, this happened, but you know, that's not me. That's not my future. That's an event. That's not me. Failure's an event, not a person. Tragedy's an event, not a person. It's not me. It happened. Happened to you. And let me tell you something. It probably happened to a lot of other people too. And you know what? It might happen again. But it's not the end of the world. You're not alone. You're not the only person to ever experience hurt or pain or I'm not trying to demean or belittle it. It hurts when it's you. It hurts when it's me, and I feel it. But you know, it's not the end of the world. And it's happened to other people. And in this life, it might happen again, but God is good, and God is on my side, and God is on my inside, hallelujah. And I don't need to be afraid of this thing. And if my knees are knocking, I just need to kneel on them. Isn't that right? If my lip is quivering, I need to quiver out to Jesus, help me. I've been there. You ever been there where your lips just quivering? I mean, just so the. Well, hey, that's the time to pray. That's the time to believe. Man, that's not time. Stop believing. Stop praying. That's. I mean, when you're quivering, you're just shaking all over. Hey, listen, you ought to be shaking for Jesus. You ought to be praying and believing and calling on His name. Doesn't matter if you stutter. God hears your heart. He knows you're calling on Him, and He will help you. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. Can you say amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Good stuff. God, there's so many so many verses I get to here. I'm thinking about, you know, Mark Twain said this. I mentioned him a while ago. He said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. Are you out there? Hey, you know that's the truth. I mean, we've gone through some painful things and never took place. But in our minds they've happened, and we've rehearsed them over and over, and we cried, and we moaned, and we groaned, and we tossed, and we turned, and it never happened. You know, I wonder how many things you and I have worried about in our lives. If you could just write a book. And how tragic, how big, how huge, how overwhelming and consuming it was at the time, the worry that you went through, and the thing never did happen. And right now you can't even think of it. You've had days and weeks just ruined because of some worry, some fear, and it never happened. And right now you can't even remember what it was. It's amazing how just one bad report can ruin your day. You ever notice that? I mean, you're just rocking along there as happy as can be, and then somebody gives you a bad report or you hear something negative that took place maybe in your life or family's life, and it just ruins your whole day. Hello. Mr. Bluebird doesn't even sound happy when he's singing. A happy song sounds sad. I mean, nothing. It just, your whole outlook, because of your mind, the way your mind works, you start entertaining that thing. You know, we spend too much time listening to ourselves and not near enough time talking to ourselves. Too much time listening to all those thoughts and all those feelings and all those emotions and all that. And what we need to be doing is spend some time talking to our emotions and talking to our feelings and talking to our mind. And say, no, I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. I'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Are you with me? And start talking to yourself instead of listening. That makes sense? Okay, well, it's kind of convoluted, but it does make sense if you think about it. It actually makes more sense if you don't think about it. But here's one. This is good. It says, since fear is unreasonable, never try to reason with it. Just forget it. I mean, come on. Fear comes, just forget it. It's unreasonable to start with. Don't try to reason with it. Only positive faith can rout the black menace of fear and give life a radiance. I love that quote. That is really good. You just have to come against fear with faith. You have to come against a lie with the truth. You have to come against a negative thought or that feeling with what God says. To not fear doesn't mean you don't feel fear. To be courageous and bold and brave doesn't mean you don't shake and you don't quiver. To be brave is not the absence of fear. It's the conquest of fear. In other words, we feel the fear, but we do it anyway. We sense it, but we don't act on it. The thought comes, but we don't meditate on it. We may quiver. Hello. Our liver may quiver. But we just keep doing what God says. See, what you have to live is a life of action, just acting on the word all the time instead of reacting to situations. Reacting to bad news, reacting to tragedy. We just jump here and jump there and jump there. No, let's stay on the straight and narrow. Let's just keep doing what God says. Let's just keep trusting God. Whatever happens, we're going to trust God. Whatever happens, we're going to pray. Whatever happens, we're going to stand on God's word. Whatever happens, He's with us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He's with us even to the ends of the earth. He said, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. He said, I will strengthen thee. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yea, I will help you. And He will, if we'll trust Him. Amen. So don't you give up and don't you give in. Won't you just show up in God's court, show up in His house, and let God show up and let God show out, because He's wanting to do that. Amen.